Hello, Ed Bell with you here on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM NPR for the Florida Keys. Coming up later on the program, our classical contributor Charles Greenfield talks with Viga Gavet about the Chopin Foundation's free concert season and various local events leading up to their National Chopin Piano Competition in 2015 at Miami's Manuel Artime Theater. Our film contributor Dan Hudak gives us his top picks for the Oscars. Chef Norman Van Aken delivers a word on food. And today's calendar features Deborah Margol with enticing arts events in Miami-Dade County.
Cook me a dinner. Cook me a dinner. And if everything is tasty, I believe in letting you know. A lot of ladies think a little romance, that'll really be all you need. You eat your cooking.
And now, South Florida will celebrate all things in the culinary world with next week's 13th annual Food Network Sobe Wine and Food Festival, presented by Food and Wine. Over 70 events will span from Aventura south to Little Palm Island in the Florida Keys. To hear about the excitement, we always like to check in with Lee Brian Schrager, Vice President of Corporate Communications and National Events for Southern Wine and Spirits of America, and the founder and director of the Food Network South Beach Wine and Food Festival. Mr. Lee Schrager, welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat.
Good to be back with you again this year, Ed.
You are in your 13th year of a fantastic, world-renowned festival. You have raised, I hear, some $18 million for FIU's Chaplin School of Hospitality and Tourism Management. Is that correct?
I think it's actually 18 plus million, but I'll take 18 million for right now.
How has that money benefited FIU and its students?
Well, I think most prominently is the beautiful new Wine Spectator teaching restaurant lab that we're actually going to be unveiling on February 19th, the night before the festival kicks off the 13th year. It's a spectacular new teaching restaurant lab with a state-of-the-art kitchen, beautiful dining room and bar. So I think when you take that teaching restaurant lab with the Southern Wine and Spirits Beverage Management Center, those are the two biggest outlets where the money that we've raised over the past 13 years have gone.
Primarily utilized by the FIU Chaplin School of Hospitality and Tourism Management?
Absolutely. 100% of the net proceeds benefit the School of Hospitality Management.
Your depth and breadth of coverage throughout South Florida is widening. You're going down to the Keys. You're going up to Aventura. Let's talk about that.
You know, we can't expand anymore on the beach. We're always afraid that the beach is just going to sink. And, you know, we've been pretty successful in past years. We've been working with the Biltmore Hotel probably for the last 8 to 10 years. Last year, we went north into the Turnberry-Aventoria area, which was incredibly successful with a celebrity chef golf tournament and a winemaker dinner. And we are doing the exact same thing again this year, and both events have sold out. And we now have gone as far south as Little Palm Island, mm-hmm. where we will be doing a dinner with Rocco DiSpiritu on Thursday evening to kick off the festival week on the 20th of February with a really spectacular dinner between Rocco DiSpiritu and the executive chef of Little Palm Island.
I bet by now just about all your tickets are sold out, but just in case, the website is sobefest.com, or you can call 877-762-3933. Lee, let's start talking about some of the extravagant things you've got planned. You address vegetarianism, which is great.
Well, you know, we try to touch on everything that's current. I mean, we've done mm-hmm. vegan events before. I don't believe it's our first vegetarian event, probably maybe our first vegetarian dinner, actually, and we're doing it at the beautiful Sacred Space downtown, which is in the heart of the Wynwood area, mm-hmm. at Carla Descal's beautiful Sacred Space. And Alfred Portali, you know, who I kind of think of as that great chef from Gotham Bar and Grill, who had Gotham Steakhouse down mm-hmm. here, really, when we approached him wanting to do something interesting, exciting with him, he said, what about a vegetarian dinner? And we were like aboard immediately. And it was, you know, not surprising to me that the event sold out so quickly. So Alfred is an incredible draw for us, a great chef. And we're doing the dinner with him Alex Garnaschelli, who is an Iron Chef from Food Network, also Matthew Kenny. So three really acclaimed and well-respected chefs doing this great vegetarian dinner.
That's Saturday, February 22nd. It starts at 7 o'clock once again at the Space Miami, 100 Northeast 25th Street in the Wynwood area. Now, on the other side of the spectrum, you've got Sammy's Beach Bar Rum and Cabo Wabo Tequila, presented by Emeril Lagasse and that great redheaded rock and roller Sammy Hagar. Tell me about the Rockin' Beach Party.
Well, most importantly, one of the best parts about it is Versailles Restaurant is doing all the food for this late night Saturday party. So you take Sammy Hagar performing, Emeril and his mixologist doing all the great cocktails, and then great Cuban food. What could be better on the beautiful beach for a late night party than, you know, rocking out to Sammy Hagar with some Emeril cocktails and great Cuban tidbits?
Now, festival sponsor Wine Spectator has their annual wine seminars. Give us a little bit more information.
Wine seminars are taking place at the James Hotel on Miami Beach, right next to our headquarter hotel, the Lowe's Miami Beach. And every year we present, you know, what we consider to be some of the greatest wines. A lot of them are the classics, but there are a lot of new trendy wines. And we do a series where there are 3 to 4 winemakers in a series, and then some standalone seminars. And they are always popular, always sell out, and always really appeal and attract a great group of people attending them every year. So for people who may not want to walk around the best of the best, you know, and sample all those wines and chefs at one big event on Friday night or in our grand tasting, this is really an intimate, hands-on learning experience.
Another big sellout event, a very popular event, is your annual Fountain Blue Miami Beach presents Wine Spectators Best of the Best. And at a quick count, what do you have, like 4 dozen great chefs?
Oh, I probably 4 dozen plus. I think we have about 55 chefs and 70 wineries. So about 125 tables with some of the greatest chefs and greatest wines out there in the market today.
That's Friday, February the 21st at 7:30 at the beautiful Fountain Blue, Miami Beach, 4441 Collins Avenue. Any event that's really dear to your heart?
Well, dear to our heart. I mean, maybe not so obviously. The tribute dinner is always a special night for us. And this year we are saluting Chuck Wagner and his family, the Wagner family of wines and Camus wines. We're also honoring restaurateur and entrepreneur Danny Myers. So it's a tribute dinner on Saturday night, the 22nd of February at the Lowe's Miami Beach, honoring really two iconic people in the industry, Chuck Wagner and Danny Myers. So that's always special. I think clearly our Q event, which kicks off the festival, is the event that put us on the map 13 years ago. And this year, the Q is going to be hosted by Food Network Iron Chef and co-host of the talk show The View, Michael Simon, along with 24 of the most beautiful women in the world, straight from the covers of the 50th anniversary of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit model. So between Michael Simon, free-flowing Moët and Chandon and Moët drinks, and the supermodels, I think we have something for everyone on that February 20th.
Spectacularly. Lee Schrager, our guest today on South Florida Arts Beat. Now, everybody always loves the Whole Foods Market Grand Tasting Village. You must entertain, 5,000 or 6,000 people during the day, or perhaps more?
Probably a little more. I don't know the exact numbers, but it's upwards of, probably 6,500 to 7,000 people a day. Probably the best value of the festival weekend, because not only do you get to sample great wine, great food, great spirits, enjoy the activations from all of our sponsors, but also obviously get to see your favorite Food Network culinary superstars and great chefs from across the planet all doing culinary demos that weekend. So whether it's Giada De Laurentiis or Morimoto or Michael Simon, the Dean family, and Paula Dean will be with us. And for the price of a ticket, you get to enjoy a full day right on the beautiful beaches.
What's Rachel Ray doing with you this year?
Rachel Ray, of course, will be at her Burger Bash on Friday night, February 21st, as well as she will be at the Grand Tasting doing a demo on Saturday afternoon.
And you got Bobby Dean coming in town to give us a little barbecue, I believe.
Bobby Dean is hosting our Thrillist event. I think that's probably on Saturday night. I hope I'm right. I think it's Saturday night, the Thrillist event at the Eden Rock Hotel in Miami Beach, and one of our great events. And it's kind of a mini bubble queue, or a mini takeoff on our queue. So a lot of great chefs participating and doing great samplings of the classic barbecue items.
And Andrew Zimmern is in town.
Andrew's on town, and we really have him busy this year. Not only is he doing a dinner for us at Kong River House, a Asian or Thai-themed dinner, he is also hosting our Munchie Awards on Sunday, February 23rd, in our North venue, as well as doing a culinary demo and a kids demo. So we have Andrew. This is no getaway free weekend for Andrew. He is busy morning, noon, and night this year.
And you're bringing back a country music star, aren't you?
Trisha Yearwood's going to be with us. Our brunch sold out. It's on Sunday, February 23rd at our headquarter hotel, the Lowe's. And as you know, like she surprised us last year, I understand she'll be performing as well. So great food, some extraordinary breakfast items, and Trisha Yearwood singing. You know, I think that makes for a great Sunday brunch.
Lee Brian Schrager always puts together a heck of an incredible party, and we so appreciate your time, Lee Schrager, Vice President, Corporate Communications and National Events for Southern Wine and Spirits of America, founder and director of the Food Network South Beach Wine and Food Festival. Good luck this year.
Thanks, Ed. I'm exhausted to you just listening to it all.
The dates of the SoBee Wine and Food Festival are February 20th through the 23rd, and to find out more information about the Chaplain School of Hospitality and Tourism Management, you can go to hospitality.fiu.edu. And of course, to find out more information about the SoBee Wine and Food Fest, go to SoBee fest.com. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat will continue in just a moment.
Nothing that you're putting down make your man gain about. A man'll do an awful lot of looking, but he's always coming home to get his cooking. Don't get too fancy, ladies. Keep something to cook in the pot. Just feed your man one good meal every day. Sit him down there. Then watch him working. Every bite plays a part. Fills him up and feeds him. Gives him a warmer kind of feeling in his heart.
You find yourself a woman. You like the way she looks. She charming and she pretty, but you say it's lots of trouble to cook.
Make her cook. Make her cook.
You meet up with a Debbie. She's in the social book. She's lovely and she loves you, but she pay a servant double to cook.
Make her cook.
If a woman can cook, it don't matter much how she looks. I just found a woman. She ain't nothing for looks. But I'm in the kitchen, she tends to business and cooks, talking about soul food, plenty of good soulful food, kidney stew, hot biscuits, and that's home cooking for two, hot cornbread, and that's home cooking for two, hot cold cake, and that's real down, down.
Listening to 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program, our film contributor Dan Hudak gives us his Oscar picks. Chef Norman Van Aken cooks up A Word on Food, and our Miami-Dade arts calendar features Deborah Margol. Now, we catch up with Jadwiga Givet, the executive director of the Chopin Foundation of the U.S. Many excellent concerts are coming up in the next few months. Here's Charles Greenfield with the details.
Becoming a piano phenomenon worldwide takes not only extraordinary talent, but an ability to navigate very treacherous competitive shoals. Young, talented pianists face an obstacle course of traps, frustration, illusory hope, and apathy in their artistic journey. For one thing, it's nearly prohibitive to rent an auditorium and gain sufficient public notice. And without critical support and reviews, how does one maintain momentum? Then there's self-promotion. You can record and try to distribute CDs of your playing or create a blog with musical excerpts of your repertoire, a few rough-edged YouTube videos, and a cheery-looking professional photo rather than an internet selfie. But such amateur self-advertising is ultimately self-limiting. So the traditional approach through international competitions remains essential. Emerging young pianists must enter and win crucial piano competitions. To fill a void where competition on the music of Chopin locally and nationally was unavailable, Blanka Rosenstiel, president of the American Institute of Polish Culture, in 1975, along with the University of Miami's School of Music, initiated the first American national Chopin piano competition held every 5 years. Five finalists automatically attend the International Chopin Competition in Warsaw for live auditions in the spring and final competition in the fall. The next national competition will be held in Miami in 2015. South Florida's Chopin Foundation of the United States has produced winners like Kevin Kenner, who won the top prize in 1990, and Gabriela Montero, the bronze medal winner in 1995 in Warsaw. The 2005 National Chopin winner was Meiting Sun, who was called a miracle of lightness, speed, and precision by the Boston Globe. And American Rachel Kudo, also in 2005, was the only American to reach the finals in Warsaw. Recently, I had the chance to talk to the executive director of the Chopin Foundation of the United States, Jadwiga Viga Gewert. We discuss the upcoming season and its young pianists. Viga, welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat.
Always a pleasure, Charles.
The next Chopin competition from the Chopin Foundation is not until 2015. Tell us briefly about the steps nationally and then ultimately in Warsaw, Poland.
Our national and international Chopin competition is held every 5 years. So the next one is coming in 2015. But in November of this year, we already have a cut down for the applications. And when we get applications from all over the country, only American pianists, then we will select the best who will be invited to come to Miami to perform from February 21st to March 1st, 2015 at the Manuel Artime Theater, 900 Southeast 1st Street.
Near downtown Miami.
It's near downtown.
Okay. Now, it's all about Frédéric Chopin. What is this great man to you?
Being Polish, of course, I adore Chopin. Chopin is the biggest Polish composer, and this is our mission, to promote Chopin's music in this country and encourage young American pianists to perfect the performance of Chopin's music.
Now, there are several young pianists performing in the next 2 months, starting with Adam Alexander, of Polish descent, I believe.
Yes.
And then also Margarita Shevchenko.
Shevchenko.
Tell us
about Russian.
Of Russian, yes. And tell us a little bit about these two young players.
The big anniversary actually is coming. This is the Chopin's birthday anniversary, which comes on March 1st. But we are starting on February 23rd with Adam Alexander, who performs at the Rosenstiel School of Marine Science on Key Biscayne. Then on March 9th, Margarita Shevchenko ends the celebrations again with the Chopin's program, and she will be performing at the Community Center of Key Biscayne. But the most important concert and celebration of Chopin's birthday comes on March 1st, and this is the day of his birthday, and Sergei Babayan with Amernet String Quartet will be performing again at the Manuel Artime Theater, close to downtown Miami.
And we'll talk about that really wonderful concert coming up. Now, your annual collaboration with Southern Wine and Spirits of America's Chopin for All free concert series picks up the 15th and 16th of March with Korean pianist Ji Young Moon.
Yes, Ji Young Moon is the winner of the Paderewski competition of last year, and she comes to us as an exchange winner. Our winner goes to Poland, and this is a wonderful cooperation. She is a great pianist.
Do you know what her program will be?
She plays Chopin, of course. Paderewski is the winner of the Paderewski competition, and Liszt.
List. Now, the Southern Wine and Spirits Free Chopin Series concludes May 17th and 18th with the young 17-year-old Mika McLaurin,
yes.
And that's preceded on the 12th and 13th of April with the young pre-selected local talent.
It's once a year we have this program for young local talent, and this year it will be in April. We already have an excellent group of young pianists. Soon the auditions will be held and they will be ready for the concert.
And this young 17-year-old Mika?
Mika is a rising star, and we have a big hope for him. We also hope that he will come to our competition next year.
Now, to end your Chopin Salon Concert Series on March 30th, you're presenting Sean Shen, the winner of the 2013 American Pianists Association's Fellowship, that's $50,000, and the 2013 Van Cliburn Bronze Medalist at the Lagoras Country Club in Miami Beach.
Yes, yes. Sean Shen is a big name right now. He is a hot artist. We are lucky that we were able to get him, and he will perform on March 30th at Lagoras Country Club in our series of Chopin Salon concerts, and this is a wonderful event.
Most importantly, now we're going to come back to the big concert of this season. You're gaining a new venue for the 2015 National Chopin Piano Competition at the Manuel Artime Theater, 900 Southwest 1st Street near downtown Miami. The theater apparently has 830 seats and a fine stage. We have a wonderful pianist on the 1st of March. Tell us all about this exciting bit of news.
Manuel Artime Theater is a hidden jewel in Miami. It's a beautiful theater, as you said, for 830 seats with excellent stage, with excellent acoustics, and everyone will love it. We invited the wonderful pianist Sergei Babayan, who will give a benefit concert for us, and he will be joined with the Amernet String Quartet, our own Miami group, for Dvorak Piano Quintet, and otherwise he will be playing solo Chopin pieces.
And the program, do we have some idea of what they'll
Dvorak
be playing?
Piano Quintet with the Amernet String Quartet for the first half of the concert, and in the second it will be Chopin only.
Chopin
solo
only.
Piano.
So Liszt
by
is
Sergei.
Liszt is not allowed in.
No, this is the Chopin's
just
birthday.
Of course.
Sergei is one of the most renowned pianists of this moment. Lately, he made a big splash with Marta Argerich playing together his transcription, Prokofiev, of Romeo and Juliet. And he is a very busy person, but he owed me a concert that he promised long time ago, and this was just a perfect opportunity to invite him here and to ask for a benefit concert.
And finally, Viga, give our listeners a description and the schedule for your membership concerts and collaborative events for next season.
Next season is very important for us because of the National Chopin Piano Competition. It will be held at the end of February at the Manuel Artime Theater. And because of that, we had to cut a number of performances. But we will start in October, and November will be another concert in both series, Free to the Public series and the Chopin Salon.
And people can get more information at chopin.org or call 305-868-0624.
Chopin.org, it's so easy.
Viga, thank you for participating on South Florida Arts Beat.
My pleasure.
The Chopin Foundation of the United States has brought young pianists to South Florida for over three decades. It provides scholarships and opportunities to give real sustenance to young careers through both national and international competition. This season's remaining concerts will be presented Saturdays at 3 p.m. at the Broward County Main Library at 100 South Andrews Avenue, Fort Lauderdale, and Sundays at 3 p.m. at Granada Presbyterian Church, 950 University Drive, Coral Gables. Membership concerts are at Lagoras Country Club on Miami Beach. For ticket information, call 305-868-0624 or visit chopin.org. For South Florida Arts Beat, I'm Charles Greenfield.
Charles Greenfield is a classical music contributor for the Sun Sentinel and has written for the Miami Herald. You can email him at cdgpm@bellsouth.net. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat continues in just a moment. Thank you. It's South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program, you can enjoy Chef Norman Van Aken's A Word on Food and be informed by Deborah Margol's Miami-Dade Arts Calendar. Right now, our film critic Dan Hudak gives us his Oscar top picks.
By all accounts, it was a wonderful year for cinema, with strong selections of mainstream, independent, and foreign fare coming throughout the year for our enjoyment. And yet, only a paltry 11 films received nominations in the 6 major Oscar categories discussed here: picture, director, actor, actress, supporting actor, and supporting actress. This accounts for 34 total nominations, suggesting an unexpected lack of disparity between the top of the heap and the hundreds of films released in 2013. The reasons for this are numerous. Voters screening a large number of films in a short period of time may allow the cream to rise to the top, but on the chance that they are only seeing a select few films with deep pocket marketing campaigns, one can't help but think there are many out there getting marginalized. Add in personal preferences, politics, and other factors, and you have what the Oscars are every year, a celebration of big-name projects and movie stars we've already grown to know and love, with only a select few newcomers welcome to the party. Thankfully, at least one of those newcomers, Lupita Nyong'o from 12 Years a Slave, will be the winner for Supporting Actress. Her performance as Patsy was bold, powerful, and heartbreaking, a true tour de force in a film full of harsh and haunting brutality. In this scene, the plantation owner who's raping her, played by Michael Fassbender, confronts her to ask why she was at the neighboring Mistress Shaw's plantation. Patsy explains that it was for a bar of soap to clean herself, needed because Fassbender's wife, played by Sarah Paulson, knows her husband prefers Patsy over her and is determined to prevent Patsy from even the most basic human dignity.
I went to Master Shaw's plantation.
You admit it?
Yes, freely. And you know why? I got this from Mrs. Shaw. Mrs. Zepps won't even grab me no soap to clean with. I stink so much I make myself gag. 500 pounds of cotton, day in, day out. More than any man here. And for that, I will be clean. That's all I ask. This here, what I went to Charles for.
To win, Nyong'o will have to beat out the likes of Jennifer Lawrence from American Hustle, June Squibb from Nebraska, Julia Roberts from August Osage County, and Sally Hawkins from Blue Jasmine. On the strength of her win at the Screen Actors Guild and the fact that 12 Years a Slave is devastatingly gut-wrenching, Nyong'o both should win and will win. The lead actress category also has a clear frontrunner in Cate Blanchett for Blue Jasmine, and there looks to be little in her way to slow her down. Except, perhaps, Amy Adams in American Hustle. For as great as Blanchett was, Adams' exotic elusiveness added true allure and intrigue to American Hustle, and the movie thrived because of it. It is a smart, sexy performance that hits every note. Also nominated are previous winners Sandra Bullock for Gravity, Dame Judi Dench for Philomena, and Meryl Streep for August Osage County. This is Streep's 18th nomination, for those counting. This category is tougher to call than many expect, so even though Adams gave the best performance and should win, Blanchett will win. In the lead actor category, Matthew McConaughey is the strong favorite for his performance as AIDS patient Ron Woodruff in Dallas Buyers Club. Set in the 80s at the height of the AIDS crisis, McConaughey's gaunt, pale, and occasionally unlikable Ron discards the medically prescribed treatment he's receiving and pursues alternative methods to treat his disease. The results are mind-boggling and inspirational, and it's a credit to McConaughey that it all comes to fruition in the performance of his career. On Oscar night, he's up against Christian Bale in American Hustle, Bruce Dern in Nebraska, Leonardo DiCaprio in The Wolf of Wall Street, and Chiwetel Ejiofor in 12 Years a Slave. I loved Bale in American Hustle, so I'll say Bale should win, even though McConaughey will win. Similarly, McConaughey's co-star in Dallas Buyers Club, Jared Leto, is the likely winner for Supporting Actor. His character, Rayhan, is a cross-dressing AIDS patient in the mid-80s who is often his own worst enemy. In this scene, his doctor, played by Jennifer Garner, asks him to promise he'll come in for treatment.
Do you like this dress? Because I think the neckline's a little plunging.
Rayhan, the whole purpose of this study is to determine if AZT is helping people.
Come on, Evie, you know there ain't no helping me.
That doesn't mean I'm going to stop trying.
Why are you so good to me? Bless your little heart.
Just promise me you'll show up for the rest of the trial.
I promise you that I will try my very best.
I want you to mean it.
Leto, who hadn't been on screen for 6 years prior to this performance, is squaring off against the frightening Barkhad Abdi for Captain Phillips, the infuriating Bradley Cooper in American Hustle, the despicable Michael Fassbender in 12 Years a Slave, and the loathsome Jonah Hill in The Wolf of Wall Street. Drag queens and playing against type always goes far with the Academy, so although Fassbender should win, Leto, no doubt, will win. Most years, the director and picture Oscars go hand in hand. Last year was a rare exception, with Ang Lee winning director for Life of Pi, while Argo took Best Picture. Uniquely, this year looks to repeat history, with Alfonso Cuarón the likely winner for director for Gravity. Similar to James Cameron and Avatar, Cuarón literally invented the technology needed to simulate Sandra Bullock and George Clooney floating adrift in outer space, and the results were jaw-droppingly stunning. To see this film on a large screen and in 3D was truly breathtaking, and Cuarón's innovation and creativity are likely to be rewarded on Oscar night. His contenders, David O. Russell for American Hustle, Alexander Payne for Nebraska, Steve McQueen for 12 Years a Slave, and the great Martin Scorsese for The Wolf of Wall Street. Reputed and respected as his colleagues are, without a doubt, Cuarón should win and will win. And finally, Best Picture. Although Cuarón will win director for Gravity, the film doesn't strike the requisite emotional chord with audiences that are often needed to win Best Picture. And so, despite its legitimate status as a strong contender, I don't consider Gravity a likely winner. Nor will the other nominees, Captain Phillips, Dallas Buyers Club, Her, Nebraska, Philomena, and The Wolf of Wall Street, end up as much competition for the two films I'm about to discuss. Indeed, the race will come down to 12 Years a Slave and American Hustle. Given that actors comprise the largest branch of the Academy, and American Hustle is so actor-friendly that it's nominated in all four acting categories, it is serious competition. It's also an absolute joy to watch, with great hair, makeup, and costumes on top of the phenomenal performances. In contrast, some, including myself, have called 12 Years a Slave the Schindler's List of slavery, and justifiably so. It is an audacious, galling picture that dares to show the unrelenting cruelty that will forever remain a stain on American history. Given its deep emotions and social importance, 12 Years a Slave both should win and will win Best Picture. The 86th Annual Academy Awards will air on ABC Sunday, March 2nd at 8 p.m. Ellen DeGeneres is the host. For South Florida Arts Beat, I'm Dan Hudak.
Chairman Emeritus of the Florida Film Critics Circle, Dan Hudak is a nationally syndicated film critic. You can visit him online at hudakonhollywood.com. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat will continue right after these messages. Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Ed Bell with you. And now, Chef Norman Van Aken gives us a word on food.
I want the fram-fram sauce with the arse and fame, with shafafa on the side. Shoo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Hi, I'm Norman Van Aken, and welcome to A Word on Food. Today's word on food, cinnamon. The way my mother taught me to make cinnamon toast was to start with raisin bread and toast it to perfection. She might have timed it by how long it took her to jump into her waitress work uniform. Then she slathered it with rich and creamy Wisconsin sweet butter. Then she sprinkled the combination of sugar and cinnamon out of our Domino Sugar Baseball Player plastic yellow figurine bottle. It was kept with a wax paper cover tucked under its round red metal lid that doubled for the faux baseball boy's cap. She usually slathered enough butter on that toast so that the cinnamon and sugar mix slid over the top of the toast like grains of sand dancing in the ebb of a wave. We loved the lusciousness of that butter. We loved the crunch the sugar gave as we bit into the toast. We loved the mild heat the cinnamon conveyed. But mostly, we loved these shared quiet moments before off to work she had to go. The fragrance of our breakfast lingered on my hands and comforted me during the first hour of math class at Diamond Lake Elementary. When the milk break came at 10:30 a.m., I noted the dairy's rich, sweet tang against my sugar cinnamon scented digits, and I was off into a land marked with cinnamon trees. Had I been in geography class, I might have learned that the trees that bring us the bark from where cinnamon comes are native to Sri Lanka. Cinnamon has been an important spice since antiquity. In actuality, there are two major types of what is called cinnamon in English. One is from the cassia bark, and the other, cinnamomum verum. The canny French lump them into one word for both, and that is cannelle. The even cannier Arabs like to shroud the sources of what they could trade by creating outrageous stories on how things were obtained to discourage poachers. A man known as Theophrastus wrote from the 4th century, "They say it grows in valleys where there are snakes with a deadly bite, so they protect their hands and feet when they go down to collect it. They divide it into three portions and draw lots for them with the sun. Whichever portion the sun wins, they leave behind. They say as soon as they leave, it bursts into flames." When cinnamon is cultivated, the rootstocks are managed so as to grow straight and tall as a human being. Then they are harvested and taken off in bushels for peeling and further processing. There are people who have the job description of being a cinnamon peeler. There is a beautiful poem by Michael Ondaatje named "The Cinnamon Peeler's Wife." I urge you to find it if you like the sensuality of topics such as these. A cinnamon peeler strips off the outer bark and then rubs it with a heavy brass rod to loosen things. Incisions are made around the quill form that the cinnamon is in, and also down the sides. The subsequent quills are actually about 40 inches long. They are cut into the smaller sections we find them in at the store. I like to toast and grind my own cinnamon. Though I most commonly utilize cinnamon in recipes for pastry and sweet things, we do love a recipe called Plantains in Temptation Sauce when anglicized. It features sweet plantains cooked with sherry vinegar, cloves, cinnamon, lime zest, salt, pepper, and duck stock. It is a fine side dish to many savory partners, perhaps like the cinnamon peeler's wife. I wonder, where is my cinnamon baseball player now? I'm Norman Van Aken, and that's my word on food.
Norman Van Aken is the author of My Key West and is also the director of restaurants for the Miami Culinary Institute and Tuyo in downtown Miami. Please tune in tomorrow morning at 8:34 on Weekend Edition to hear Marmalade. And here's our South Florida Arts Beat entertainment calendar. And today we welcome back Deborah Margold, Deputy Director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs. I know there's a lot going on, Debbie.
It's almost obscene, Ed, truly. I mean, there's so much. I can barely even get us out of this weekend.
An embarrassment of riches.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Of course, today is Valentine's Day, so all those lovers and wannabe lovers, There are a zillion things to choose from, a lot of them free, so pay close attention. So beginning tonight, Art Wynwood has the Art Wynwood Fair. It's actually in this whole weekend and will be running at the Art Miami Pavilion. That's right in the middle of Wynwood at 3101 Northeast 1st Avenue. They'll be showcasing a diverse range of fresh and really edgy works by both established and emerging international contemporary artists from more than 13 countries and showcasing 70 top international galleries. You know, we don't have Wynwood only during Basel. We have incredible art there year-round.
Mm-hmm.
And the Art Wynwood Fair is a good showcase of that. And once you've taken in the art, you can head over to the Bakehouse Art Complex for the after party. It's a Valentine's Day themed, of course, and that's over at the Bakehouse Art Complex. That's at 561 Northwest 32nd Avenue. And if you have had enough of art on the mainland, you can run over to the Free Fridays at the Wolfsonian, FIU. And that's, of course, on Miami Beach at the Wolfsonian Museum. Admission is free from 6 to 9 p.m. tonight. Also, it's Tropical Park featuring its Noches Tropicales series and a very special Valentine's concert presented by the Miami-Dade County Parks Department and Target. And this is a free live concert by salsa legend Andy Harlow and the Charanga Time Band over at Tropical Park, and the concert starts at 8 p.m. For something a little different, but an annual tradition of sorts, at Zoo Miami, our very own Ron McGill's hilarious and now infamous presentation on love in the animal kingdom. And this is just an absolutely wonderful and quite humorous celebration. It's limited to the first 500 people who reserve, so make sure you get there and get over and make your reservation. Also, it requires that you be 18 or older because they serve wine and cheese at the reception. Valentine's Day at Fairchild is no less wonderful and spectacular and absolutely the most romantic event of the year. And this year's concert is featuring a Grammy Award-winning pianist and UM Dean of Music, Shelley Berg, with Grammy-winning vocalist Patty Austin. This one has an admission fee, but it is, as we said, insanely romantic, and the concert will go on rain or shine. If you want to have a romantic outdoor concert right on the edge of the bay, head south to Deering Estate, and their performer tonight is Nicole Henry.
Mm.
Once you've had enough of great romance outdoors, continue heading south to the Schnebley Redlands Winery. They have their Friday night happy hour with live entertainment and wine tasting amid their beautiful tropical environment, so the party just keeps going on and on Valentine's night. Well, maybe this is romantic to real history wonks, but the free Friday night movie at the North Beach Bandshell this evening is the movie Lincoln, and that, of course, is free movies under the stores at North Shore Park Bandshell on Miami Beach. Next Friday, by the way, they'll be featuring Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, so it's all in what you like. This weekend also, the Miami City Ballet is performing their program 3 featuring George Balanchine's boldly modern episodes and the incredibly brilliant West Side Story suite. And the program concludes with the thrilling Tchaikovsky Pas de Deux, and that's at the Arsht Center this weekend, Miami City Ballet's program 3. And this weekend, of course, it is the annual Coconut Grove Arts Festival, the 51st anniversary, featuring the work of over 380 of the finest artists and craftsmen in the world throughout McFarland Road and South Bayshore Drive in Coconut Grove. Jazz at Pinecrest Gardens this week is featuring Batuque Samba Funk. This is tomorrow night. It's at Pinecrest Gardens. And if you like a celebration of Brazilian carnival and samba fusion mixed with raw 70s funk, this is your show. So head over to Pinecrest Gardens. On Saturday and Sunday, Miami Symphony Orchestra is performing Saturday at UM Gusman Concert Hall at the University of Miami campus and Sunday at the New World Center. They're featuring renowned flautist Nestor Torres together with principal horn Hector Rodriguez in a romantic program of their own that they have titled A Valentine Fiesta. We continue with free now. We have the Free Gospel Fest, first one down at South Miami-Dade Cultural Arts Center on Sunday. And also Sunday, the Free Gospel Sundays at Arsht Center, this week featuring Dottie Peoples. On stage at the South Miami-Dade Cultural Arts Center running through March 2nd is New Theater's performances of Visiting Hours, Friday and Saturday 8:30 and Sunday at 1 and 5:30 p.m. Also, a really cool program brought to us by Miami-Dade College Live Arts, and this is the National Theater of Scotland, The Strange Undoing of Prudencia Hart. This is taking the theater into a bar. They're presenting it at Grand Central right in the heart of downtown, which is a great big bar. And, of course, next Friday night, it's Big Night in Little Haiti, this week featuring beloved Haitian singer Alain Cavé with an opening set by Tradition La Coulaque, And finally, Ed, we have Driving Miss Daisy, the Walnut Street Theater out of Philadelphia's brilliant production of the Pulitzer Prize winner by Alfred Uri. That's next Friday and Saturday, the 21st and 22nd, at the South Miami-Dade Cultural Arts Center.
Where can we find more information, Deborah?
And I have to say, there's a gazillion things more because I could barely scratch the surface at miamidadearts.org, all one word, miamidadearts.org.
Special thanks to Deborah Margol, Deputy Director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs. Deborah, thank you so much and great weekend.
Always a pleasure, Ed.
$1 billion Rising for Justice takes place today from 4 to 7 p.m. It's a creative event to increase awareness, raise money, and revitalize the spirit of existing anti-violence organizations. The purpose is to generate broader attention for the fight to stop violence against women and girls around the world. This year in Miami, the focus will be on human trafficking with information booths, a full moon drum circle, and flash mobs. It's free today from 4 to 7 p.m. at the Miami-Dade College Wolfson Campus Plaza. That's located at Northeast 4th Street between 1st and 2nd Avenues in downtown Miami. For more info, call 305-725-1625, 305-725-1625, or go to 1billionrising.org on Facebook at 1billionrising Miami. We'll rebroadcast South Florida Arts Beat tonight and every Friday night at 7 o'clock on our WLRN Extra HD channel. You can tune in on your HD radio or go to our website at WLRN.org for more information. And that's today's edition of South Florida Arts Beat. We hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Ed Bell, producer and host. Our theme was composed by Mike Levine and performed by Mike and Sam Levine. Paul Leary is our online producer. Special thanks to our technical director today, Andy Wagner, and our contributors, Charles Greenfield, Dan Hudak, Norman Van Aken, and Deborah Margol. Please call us with your comments, 305-995-2258. You can fax us your event information, 305-995-2221, or email it to us at info@wlrn.org. We'd like to hear from you. Monday at this time, Topical Currents with hosts Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman. Have yourself a great holiday weekend, and please, as always, keep your dial set right here to 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Until next time, this is Ed Bell saying bye-bye. Enjoy.